Good evening and welcome to our Sunday evening service, where we are coming to the end of our series on creation, on those first few verses from the beginning of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we're looking tonight at the final part as we think about God creating the animals and the people and all that we can see there in those verses. And I was thinking, if I asked you to list the number of different birds that maybe you've seen today in and out your garden, or the number of animals that perhaps you've seen in your lifetime, or perhaps you watch some of these nature programs and you see people at animals and birds and creatures from across our world, and you just begin to think about how many they are, and if you began to listen, we know full well that that list would be endless, and still we won't have captured anywhere near the quantity and the variety of the animals that God has created. And we recognize tonight in our service, as Ian brings God's words to us later on, just how awesome is our God. We read in Genesis 6, when we know that the world had begun to disobey God, that God cared about his creation. And he said to Noah, "You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every creature that moves along the ground. They will come to you to be kept alive. And you are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them." And Noah did everything just as God had commanded. Just there you get that wonderful sense of just how much God cares for his creation. And yes, he destroyed the world, but he also made sure that part of his creation survived. Our God is an awesome God. Let's sing our praises to him right now. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the world in which we live. We thank you that a few weeks ago we could celebrate the harvest, and now we're into approaching that time of Christmas. And yet your hand has been in each and every part of our last few days and our days to come. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you are an awesome God, that you created the world in which we lived. And Lord, we've got it wrong. We haven't taken care of it in the way that you would choose. But Father God, for the way that we are able to enjoy it, maybe as we go out or as we sit and look at through our windows at our gardens, or we enjoy the variety of your creation as we watch the news or the weather or whatever fills our day. Father God, we thank you that you're an awesome God, that you cared and you created, and that your hand is upon each and every one of us. Father, help us as we sing our praises and offer ourselves to you afresh again today. Father God, we may be open to what it is that you are saying to us and how it is that you may want us to live. God, you are an awesome God, and we thank you that you care for each and every one of us. Amen. One of my favourite psalms is Psalm 139, and it felt really appropriate as we think about God creating man and woman later in this service for me to read verses 13 down. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book." I love those verses. I refer to them again and again in every week that I have, as I recognize that we are all so different. Even as human beings, we are various and we have different characteristics and different emotions, and we are unique. And we're unique because you have had your hand on our lives from that very first moment when we were knitted together. And as we sing our next song that reminds us of your amazing grace, we thank you that because of your grace and your love, because of your hand at work in our lives from that very beginning until the moment we take our last breath, we can indeed praise you because you've set us free and you love us. Let's sing. A couple more verses from Psalm 139, beginning at verse 17, says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you." God is always with us. Sometimes, sadly, we're not always with him. Our first thoughts aren't always to him. We're sometimes focused in on our busyness. And sometimes we don't allow God into our heart. But our next song reminds us of the importance, not only of the grace that we have had shown to us through our last song, where our chains have fallen off because of what he's done, but that desire as we sing now to say to God, "Abide with me all the days of my life." As you can see, we're going to share in the Lord's Supper together. And as we come around the table, wherever you are and whatever you're using to represent the body and the poured out blood of our Lord and our Saviour, we know that we can come before God with thankful hearts, knowing that he will forgive us. And so we come now before him in thanksgiving and in confession. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for that reminder from the song that you always abide with us. But Lord, we remember sometimes that we aren't always perfect, and that actually the way we live isn't the way you want us to live. Father God, forgive us at those times when we have been selfish, when we have been thoughtless, when we've been judgmental, when we've been human rather than living the way you call us to be as your children, as your sons and your daughters. And Lord, as we come to this table, as we hold in our moment the bread and drink from the cup, we thank you for the words that remind us of all that you have done. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you, that's poured out for me, that's poured out for each one of us. Father God, as we share in this meal together, even though we are not together, Lord, we know that you unite us by the power and the love and the blood of the poured out Saviour on that cross, your Son, our Saviour. Amen. We know that it says in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Wherever we are, whatever we're eating, however we choose to do this, as we listen to the next song, let us just eat together and drink together, knowing that the God who sent his Son to die on that cross loves each and every one of us. Amen. As we've eaten, as we've drunk, we know that this isn't the end of the story. We know that when Jesus shared in the bread and the cup with his disciples, he then went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was there that he prayed, and it was there he was arrested, and it was then after that he was taken, after being flogged and tortured, to the cross to die. But that wasn't the end. There is so much more to come. When he conquered death and he left and he went back to heaven, and then he commissioned his disciples, and he's commissioned each one of us to live as he would have us live. And so, having shared in this table, and shared in this meal, we are thankful to God for all that he has done for us. And we're going to continue our time together as we pray. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for your Son's death on that cross. We thank you for his victory over death, for the way that he rose again, for the victory that is ours because of what he did for us. And Lord, as we go in our lives through this week, we pray that in all that we do, we may be shining examples for you. But Lord, we recognize that for some of us, the week ahead is a difficult week. It's a week where there are going to be things maybe being told to us that are difficult. There'll be things that we will find hard to hear. There'll be decisions that are made that we will find hard to carry out. As we listen to our televisions or our radios or we read the newspaper, we realize we live in an uncertain world. And some of us are struggling with that. Father God, we pray for the health and well-being not only of ourselves but of our nation. We pray for each and every one of us who are fearful, or who are anxious, who are or worried about the future. We pray for each one of us who are struggling to know what the outcome will be when we go to the doctor or we hear from the hospital, or as we wait for treatment and we're waiting for a date. Father God, in all that we do, Father, help us to trust you, we pray. We pray, Lord, for those who are isolated, who are unable to get out, who are having to shield. We pray for their mental health. We pray for those who seek to support, for those who are maybe just ringing or sending cards or just trying to bless them in a way that just enables them to know they're not on their own. Father God, we bring before you each and every one of us who needs a touch from you this day. May we name them now in our heart. Father God, we ask you to remember those in our congregation of whatever age they may be. Those who are single or those who are within families. Those who are older or those who are younger. Those who are in schools as pupils or those who are there as staff and as educators. We pray for those who are older and at university and are living away from home, or those who are unable to visit their families or their friends simply because of the situation that we find ourselves in. For each and every one of us who are in any kind of need or distress, Father God, may we know you at the start of our day as at the end of our day. Thank you that it is your loving arms that wrap around us, that enable us to stay strong when we feel weak. Lord, we pray for Parkside. We pray for those relatives and the staff who are finding it tough. We pray for the families and the volunteers and the people who are seeking to make that a better place, a place where your presence is experienced and known for themselves. Lord, in the heartache and the difficulty, may your peace be present. In the separation, Lord, may you unite those who are apart, not just at Parkside, but across all of our care homes in this country and across our world, where people are separated. Lord, in all that is said and done, may each one know that you love them and that you care for them. That you are there at the beginning of the day and at their end of their day, as you are for each one of us. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for that promise and that certainty that we don't need to go through a moment of our day without you being there with us. And so, Father God, we pray for our world. a world that is hurting and messed up and struggling. A world where there is conflict and uncertainty and arguments. A world where people can't agree one with another. And that's not the creation that you made. And so forgive us, Lord, for our part in that. And as we pray for our world and our government and our town, Father God, may we be peacemakers and joy bringers. May we be encouragers and prayer warriors. May we be all that you call us to be, so that this world, the world in which we live, will know that you are alive and present and caring for us all. We thank you for that reminder from Psalm 139 that you are with each person as they were created. And no one is more important than the other. And that, Lord, you have dominion and rule and authority over all things. Lord, may more of us turn to you and keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because we come before you and ask all these things in and through the name of our Son, Jesus. Amen. Just a couple of notices just to remind you, if you are booking in for either Sunday morning or the Wednesday lunchtime service, please do that to help us manage the numbers. If you're not able to join us in person, do continue to join us online week by week. And you may wish to join us too for the prayer meeting on Tuesday or on Wednesday for the character course as we bring our time together to an end. We thank you for all those who give week by week. And as we offer now our prayers of thanks, we recognize that in what we give, God blesses us so much more. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that we are able to come before you and to give either electronically or in person or through the post or however it is that we give, because the work that is funded by our giving is a work that you desire to bless. And so, Father, bless all that we give, we pray. In and through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before Ian comes once again, we're going to
read at verse 20. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to the likeness, our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Let the earth fill and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree which fruit yields seed. And you shall be, to you it shall be for food. Also every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, which there is life. I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. So in the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we come to the sixth day of creation. The five previous days we see how God has created the different parts of creation, and today we come to probably what you could describe as the climax of creation. And the first thing God creates on this day is the creatures of the earth, the living creatures, cattle and all the wild animals. It's interesting how you read how man is given dominion over, and in this creation order there is the tame animals, the farmed animals, and there's also the wild animals. Both are created in this day by God. We see again the amazing diversity of God's creation imagination. That he creates on the earth both cows and lions. And they are there and they have been created by God. He creates everything according to where it is going to live, from the north to the south pole and in the equator in the middle, and how everything has its environment where it will thrive. This is the Creator God. Nothing is accident, as we saw last week. Everything is created for a purpose and in an environment. But then he moves to the climax of creation. That's you and me, humankind, mankind. He makes us, and it says very clearly in this reading, he creates mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. We are created in God's image. Male and female, he created us in his image. We are all in the image of God. This is God's special stamp on us, that we are special. It doesn't matter our creed, our colour, who, where we come from. We are all in image bearers of God. We are all created in his image. None more special than the other. None more supreme than the other. All equal in God's eyes, all made in his image. You have been created by the Creator God in his image. In chapter 2 we have the account there of the garden, and it says this about the creation of humankind. Then the Lord God formed man from dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. We don't read that for any other animal, that God breathed into the nostrils. But we do read it in the creation of mankind. God breathing into us. That sense of the breath of God. That's what makes us uniquely different from the rest of creation. That we have the image of God, the breath of God coming into us. If you take the Hebrew word ruach, which describes spirit or breath, it's the same word there, and I find that helpful, that God breathes his spirit into us. It's his Holy Spirit being breathed into us that gives us that sense of right and wrong. It gives us the free will. It gives us conscience. It gives us the godly-like attributes, the ability for power and abuse. We read about this in a different way in John chapter 20. I want to take you there. I haven't planned to do this, but I'm going to take you there right now. Because I think this is a word for us at this time. The context is Jesus has just died, was crucified. But he has risen again, but the disciples, they're confused. They don't know what to make of it all, and they are fearful. So they've gone, and they've put themselves into a self-isolation, a few more than the rule of six, but they are still hiding away for fear. And Jesus comes into their room, and he stands with them. And the first thing he says is, peace be with you. I've preached on this passage before at Romford, but I want to do it again today because I feel that God's just saying something to the church, to you in your home, where you're feeling isolated, you're feeling alone, you're feeling fearful. Firstly, God says, I made you, I created you, you are my image bearer. And then he says, peace be with you. But you're still feeling low, lifeless, unable to go on. As we read from verse 19 of John chapter 20, and I'm going to read it now. On the evening of the very first day of the week, the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and says, peace be with you. After this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And God breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. Genesis 2. And where you are right now, in your home, in your place, where you are watching this service, God will breathe the life breath into you. He will breathe his spirit into you afresh. If you allow him to come in and be a part of you, he will give you his very life. Let's pause and pray for a moment. Creator God, wow, your creation is immense. It's overwhelming. But Lord, right now, we also recognize your life-giving breath. Lord, into my life, into every life that is watching this right now in their home, I pray you will breathe the breath of life into each person afresh. Lord, breathe into us the life-giving breath of God, as you did with the valley of dry bones, as you do with all who are coming into faith in Jesus, and you're giving them new life. You're breathing the Holy Spirit into them right then. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to all who are watching this video right now, who are watching online, Lord, I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will fill them afresh. Come, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Being made alive by the breath of God. But as we continue down verse 6, we see some more things. Firstly, God gives us dominion. God gave us power over his creation. And power is a great thing for good, but it can also be for destruction. And we see, as the Bible story goes on, how we use the power in the wrong way. How human beings use power to destroy, not to build, not to make worse rather than to bless. Because you see, alongside humankind being given dominion over the whole earth, he also gave responsibility. He gave responsibility. In the 21st century, many a court case has been held on human rights, or my rights. My rights to be heard, my right to define myself how I want, my right. But throughout the Bible is this question of responsibility. God has given you responsibility. And one day we will be called to account for how we use what God gave us. And that includes our power. And so we need to take that whole thing of responsibility carefully. You see, he gave us the rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. He gave us the rule over the plant life. He gave us the rule over animal life. But we have a responsibility to care for what God has given to us. And we need to give account to God for that. Our environmental decisions, our business decisions, our priorities that we give to life are all responsibilities that God has given us. And so with power comes responsibility. And that's true in any part of life. As we watched the political elections, we saw power being used. But sometimes we lacked the responsibility. You have been given power by God, but you have been given responsibility. But as we go through the Bible stories and the next chapter, the story of Adam and Eve, we see that actually the other thing we are given is relationship. Relationship with God. God's creating of humankind, of male and female in his image, is that of for relationship. And throughout the whole of this biblical story, you have God's relationship with his creation, going through good times and bad times, going through the rebellion and also the coming back. The Old Testament in a musical by, I'm just trying to think of the writer's name, but anyway, he writes this musical, Roger Jones is his name, he writes a musical called Snakes and Ladders, and he likens the whole Bible story to that story of snakes bringing us down and ladders where we climb up towards God. And there is that snakes and ladders. We're up and down, up and down, up and down. And then, so sadly, we found ourselves hopeless. And God's creation was so important to him. His relationship with his created beings, with us, you and me, was so important that God gave the most important thing he had, his son, to redeem his relationship, to redeem his creation, to bring us back to God. You see, this creation of God was so special to him. He would do anything for it. Because he longs to be in relationship with us. So as we come to the end of day 6, we also read that God blessed his creation. He blessed humankind. In verse 28, well, let's read 27. God created mankind in his image, the image of God. He created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase. God blessed you and me. He blessed us with so much, with life, with hope. He blessed us with creation. He blessed us with an ability to sustain the world and to sustain ourselves. He blessed us and he told us to go and make, be fruitful, increase in number. He blessed us because he loved us. And the final thing we read after the dominion and the power over everything. In verse 31 we see this. And God saw all that he was made. and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. God, when he had finished his work of creation, he saw it was very good. Whatever you might make of the world today, whatever your judgments upon the good and bad, what God created was very good. God judged his creation as very good. Yes, we've messed it up. But the great news about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that he is in the redeeming. He's going to redeem you and me. He's going to redeem his creation. And one day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And God will sit back and he will look at that and he will say again, and it is very good. This is our hope. This is our knowledge. Because God loves his creation. He loves you and me. Amen. And our final hymn, that great hymn of God's redemption, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all, this day and forevermore. Amen.